Greetings, fellow seekers, and welcome to The Global Entity, a blog, a movement, and now, finally, a podcast. I am Julia, your messy philosophical friend who took it upon herself to entertain you with what has essentially become my life. Almost 2 years ago, I decided to uproot my life in Sweden to search for my purpose. Since then, I've been slow traveling Africa and sharing it through writing. By sharing my journey, I hope to ignite the spark of possibility within you, dear listener, because living through the heart isn't necessarily about dancing under the African sky, as amazing as that is. It's about embracing the wild, untamed beauty of your own existence, however that may look like. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's post, Unpacking Dance Community Dynamics, a Personal Reflection. My dance background. Tonight is the first party of the Salsa Bachata Kizomba Festival, and as excited as I am, I'm also a bit nervous. I've been dancing my whole life. Up until I was 17 years old, it was mainly ballet and contemporary dance, with small elements of salsa and musicals. Dancing has always been my most natural way of expressing and processing emotions, even the ones that felt too big for my body to hold. As I grew older and stopped with my classical training, salsa, bachata, and eventually kizomba became my new safe space. Except the dance communities weren't safe, and more often than not did I feel there was no space for someone like me. The toxic expressions of dance communities. As a mixed person with one parent from Latin America, it felt really weird to fight for inclusion in a community which represented and made money off of my culture. And as sad as that is, it was often the case. Rooms filled with people fighting for attention and inclusion into some sort of status hierarchy. Side glances, cold shoulders. There are many ways to make a person feel small. The worst one being not getting to dance. Just sitting and waiting, hoping for somebody to have either the mercy, compassion, or just the common sense to invite the new girl to dance. The older I got, the more I noticed who got excluded and who got included. It all depends on the context, of course. On Cuba, the ones who get to dance and be most included are white female tourists. If there are tourists around, the local women usually have to take a back seat. The crude explanation of this is that tourists give other opportunities, financial ones, and opportunities of getting out of the country. More often than not, you see amazing, mind-blowing Cuban dancers dragging along two left-feet lady night after night. In Sweden, the norms are different. To give you the context, the ratio between men and women, leads and follows, in Swedish dance communities are greatly skewed. I should say Latin dance communities. For every man, you might have 8 to 20 ladies waiting to dance. This leads to a dynamic where the men get to pick and choose, while the women fight for the men's attention, on the premises decided by the men. Not necessarily consciously. My deduction is that in order to dance the most, you should be slim, tall, and white, but also agreeable, laughing, smiling, and quiet. Needless to say, I don't quite fit into any of those categories. Why I dance? My safe haven. One might question then, with all of these destructive dynamics in the dance world, why do I dance? Why do I choose to continue spending time and energy in these spaces? The simple answer is that I love dancing. Dancing has been a part of my way of living always, and it is what I always return to when I feel lost. No matter the physical and social spaces, dancing in itself is my safe space. Despite the dance community norms triggering everything from eating disorders, body dysmorphia, identity crisis, and the feeling of not belonging, dancing has healed me more times than I can remember. It's not like the people in the dance communities are rotten either. Most of us are good, normal people, and there's even some conscious dancers too. Finding them, sharing that dance, experiencing that connection can be otherworldly. It makes me feel alive. However, something happens when we come together. It's like we're unable to create outside of the capitalistic, limiting, competitive frameworks, and it shows in how we treat each other, in our culture. I do believe that dance communities can be also just that, a community, somewhere where people gather, interact, belong, grow, coexist. That's at least what I always come back to, what I long for. So there you have it, my complex relationship to dance communities. Now I am both curious and nervous to find out what Cape Town vibe is like. Wish me luck. How do we build social sustainable dance communities? I think a lot about what I feel is missing in the dance communities. Why they more often than not show severe social dysfunction, to the degree I would liken it with the dynamic between high schoolers. One explanation could be that dancing is a tool for healing, and many of us are drawn to dance to heal something we are unaware of. But instead of being a secure platform for transformation and healing, the dance scene often tears people down. How can we build a dance community that enables people to grow, where you feel welcome no matter your background, level, or looks? We need changes on so many levels. I'm thinking of themes of inclusion. Dancing is something that constantly evolves. It is vital to continuously honor the dances by educating about their roots and include representatives at festivals. For a dynamic and healthy dance scene, there is also need to be equally inclusive of the new and innovative dance styles and dancers as well. That is how the dance stays relevant. It evolves with us. Another theme is representation and equality. It matters. I cannot express what it did to me to see another curvy, plus-size lady teaching ballet unapologetically. Another aspect of the same theme is who gets hired, who gets featured, who gets paid, and who is expected to be so-called grateful for the opportunity. Can we also stop glorifying European artists in Latin African contexts? Another theme is economic sustainability. I don't have statistics on this, okay, but it is my distinct perception that most of my professional dance friends have other jobs to support their dance careers. And more often than not, they're expected to work for exposure. In other words, for free. The most important theme for me is participants' perspective. This is what needs to be in focus and drive the dance communities forward. Without the participants, there is no dance community. Just a bunch of stars without an audience. Last but not least, gender roles. Perhaps this is what ruins it all, at least for me. For some reason, well, at least in Sweden, I feel the salsa, bachata, and kizomba communities are 10 times worse when it comes to sexism and gendered power dynamics. It's such a tired structure that limits us as people and dancers. I am over it. Alright guys, that was it for today. As some of you already know, this blogcast is part of a larger travel platform specializing in festivals and social sustainable tourism. If you want to see the photos from this journey, take part in the latest news, and join our amazing and vibrant community, you'll find the link to theglobalentity.com in the bio. You can also find my email right there in the bio. Send me a few lines and let me know what you think. If you enjoy this blogcast and if you want to support what I do, please give it a great rating on your podcast streaming platform. If you really like it, maybe send it to a friend you think might enjoy it too. I'd really appreciate that. Have a great week and don't forget to dance!